We meet together in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be always with you. Today is the second Sunday after Trinity. We remember God's presence with us and pray that through this time of prayer, of hearing God's word and reflection, we might be perfected by the grace of Jesus Christ and inspired by the gift of the Holy Spirit to live lives to his praise and glory. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, at whose bidding the seed will sprout and the shoot grow towards full stature, hear the prayer of your people. Make us trust in your hidden ways, that we may pray with confidence and wait for your kingdom now growing in our midst. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God for ever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, you have taught us that all our doings without love are nothing worth. Send your Holy Spirit and pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of love, the true bond of peace and of all virtues, without which whoever lives is counted dead before you. Grant this for your Son, Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
A reading from the prophecy of Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar. I will set it out. I will break off a tender one from the topmost of its young twigs. I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel I will plant it, in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit, and become a noble cedar. Under it, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. All the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree. I make high the low tree. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will accomplish it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia. We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground, and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He said also, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in the shade." With many such parables he spoke the word to them, and they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I pray that I may speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Early this week, the Forestry Commission announced a new project to encourage the creation of new woodlands across the country. The £16 million scheme intended not only to boost wildlife and reduce flooding, but also a simple yet small way of addressing some of the effects of the pressing climate emergency, recognising the integral role that trees play in locking up carbon from our atmosphere. This announcement builds on an existing pledge from the government to increase tree planting to 30,000 hectares by 2025, and the noticed need that we need more trees to help us in all sorts of ways, not least in supporting how we as human beings seek to tread a little more gently on the earth that we have so uncompromisingly exploited. One only needs to look at the scenes of mass deforestation in so many parts of the world to notice that even if our efforts close to home seem rather insignificant, they are necessary. A reality noted in the plans being made to mark the 70th anniversary of Her Majesty the Queen's accession to the throne next year, with the intended creation of the Queen's Green Canopy, a unique planting initiative which will invite people across the land to plant a tree for the Jubilee, for the benefit of generations to come. Such an enterprise recognises that the act of choosing to plant a tree, regardless of any other incentive, is and of itself a selfless act. It's a decision that's marked and moulded by a spirit of openness and generosity, owing to the fact that it takes time for trees to mature, grow and develop. In planting a seed, we never see instantaneous results or immediate blessing. For example, a typical English oak tree, though it might start producing acorns at around 40 years old, only matures between 80 to 120 years old, generally being productive for 300 years, before resting and then moving on in its life cycle. As such, the planting of any seed is an act of faith, looking to God to tend and give the growth for the future, entrusting our work to Him, and with it the realisation that such an act does not bring any noticeable benefit to ourselves, confronting us with the facts of our own transitory nature. It's perhaps no wonder then that the prophet Ezekiel, writing in the desolate days of Israel's subjugation and eventual captivity in Babylon in the early decades of the 6th century BC, when the misery and forsakenness of God's people was uppermost in the prophetic imagination, that he uses the imagery of planting a tree to symbolise the faithfulness of the Lord's promises. To set the scene, the failure of Israel to attend to the works and ways of righteousness, giving way to selfishness, introspection and pride, has culminated in impending disaster. The people's faithlessness has been to their folly. The covenant lies broken, and now, as recompense, Israel's community is to be divided and scattered. If you read the verses that precede the section we've heard this morning, then you're faced with a rather bleak proposition, with any hint of brightness in short supply. The message is clear. If we only look to ourselves, then we'll falter. And if we're only concerned with our own sense of happiness or security at the expense of others, then we're not going to get very far. Any schemes or plans we might have without God's help and direction will ultimately flounder, even though we might think otherwise. Thus, it's with all this in mind that the prophecy dramatically alters, as the word of the Lord comes to Ezekiel and declares a new beginning, with greater hope for the future. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar. I will set it out. I will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. Even amidst dreadful circumstances, God's plans will mature, and despite all appearances to the contrary, his faithful love will be established once again. And what's more, this tree, when it's planted, will flourish and bear fruit, a source of abundant blessing. As we hear, under it every kind of bird will live. In the shadow of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. The prophet testifying that the tree that the Lord would plant would bring life and hope and purpose, looking ahead not simply to a time when Israel's material fortunes would be reversed, but God's rule and kingdom acknowledged in humbling the powerful and elevating the powerless. Such a message, received in its original context by a disenfranchised group of refugees yearning for things to be different, offered both constancy and comfort. Ezekiel's words exhorting his hearers to a deeper trust and more sincere faith, signified in a hope that what the Lord had planted would, in his time, and note not in theirs, come to fruition. A prayerful position we've perhaps learned to lean on a little more following our experiences over the last 15 months. Such an understanding is, of course, emphasised in Jesus' words to us today in Mark's Gospel, in attending to the parables that Jesus chooses to share with those gathered around him. Both of these have as their focus what the evangelist calls the kingdom of God, a phrase we find repeated 14 times throughout the Gospel. In talking to those who would listen, Christ unfolds what it might mean through picture, allegory, and metaphor to seek, know, and receive such a kingdom, the kingdom that Ezekiel had foretold long before and which was still awaited, and the kingdom that somehow was revealed and had arrived in this rabbi and carpenter originating from the margins of respectable society in first century Palestine, in who he was and what he said and did. Consequently, both the parable of the growing seed and the parable of the mustard seed are stories of surprise. In listening to them, one could not imagine the eventual conclusion from the beginning. Just as the beleaguered exiles of Israel couldn't imagine Ezekiel's vision of a prosperous and peaceable future in the midst of their fear and distress. For such, as Jesus indicates, is the kingdom of God. Its coming will always catch us out, surprise us, interrupt us. It can't be moulded to fit a particular agenda, vision, or preconceived notion, but will always lead us out of ourselves, clarifying for us what it means to live, work, and serve as those called into a community whose purpose is found in following the God whom Jesus reveals. Hence, the kingdom that Christ inaugurates and brings to our attention breaks open our understanding and leads us into greater dependence on the God in whose time and perspective all things are fulfilled and found. This is what the first parable, the story of the growing seed, is all about. Only found in Mark's Gospel, it's short, relevant, and to the point, couching our appreciation of God and his work in almost the most ordinary way possible. The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The truth of God's caring concern and loving involvement in his world, described in such a basic and everyday way. The kingdom Jesus promises comes not in glory, but in the common things of life, the routines of day-to-day living, signposts to the nurturing plans of the Lord. Life goes on as it always has. Yet Jesus says, even in this, the kingdom comes. Regardless of any work the farmer does, the seed sprouts and grows and eventually can be harvested. Slowly and imperceptibly, the seed is nurtured and comes to maturity. And even though its worth might be negligible, its potential takes time to be fully realised. For it is God who is the source of its growth. In an age and time, in a church and a society which so often wants to remedy quickly perceived challenges and problems, that searches for quick wins and easy answers. Such a message is not only refreshing, but quite revolutionary. For such is the kingdom of God. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us pray. Let us pray for the church and for the world, and let us thank God for his goodness. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. We pray for the witness of the church this week, particularly in the places where the Christian faith is ignored and forgotten. We pray for those who carry major responsibilities as bishops and church leaders and are always expected to know what to do and say, whatever the situation. Give them compassion, wisdom, and the mind of Christ. Strengthen our Bishop James and all your church in the service of Christ, that those who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for Christians working in places of power and influence who make decisions which may affect many people's lives. We pray for Christians in politics, the media, advertising, and the financial markets, that they may know how to act and what to say in order to be true to Christ. We pray that we may examine our own powers over others at home or work and use it responsibly by offering it to the one who laid aside his power and took the form of a servant. Bless and guide Elizabeth, our Queen. Give wisdom to all in authority, and direct this and every nation in the ways of justice and of peace, that we may honour one another and seek the common good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those whom we love, the special people you have given to us, whatever they may be. We pray for our friends, the close ones, and those we sometimes forget, those with a special problem, and those who need you most. We thank you for each of them and what they give to us. Keep us faithful to them as you are faithful to us. Give grace to us, our family and friends, and to all our neighbours, that we may serve Christ in one another and love as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those for whom this day will seem long and hard, for those in hospital or ill at home, those struggling with despair or depression, those waiting for a job or important news, or a friend to call. We pray particularly for those for whom this day will be their last. We name in our hearts any people we know in special need. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember with deep gratitude those who have left their mark on our lives by giving us love and laughter, and have now gone before us to be with Christ. We hold them in our hearts, knowing that you, Lord, hold them in yours. Hear us as we remember those who have died in the faith of Christ, according to your promises. Grant us with them a share in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Rejoicing in the fellowship of all your saints, we commend ourselves and all Christian people to your unfailing love. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
We gather up all our prayers into one, uniting them in the words that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Unto the Lord's mercy and protection we commit you. The peace of God, that peace which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and in the love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest, remain, and abide with you, with those whom you love and pray for, this day and always. Amen. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord, in the name of Christ. Amen.